the Coach Rob Podcast, answering questions and eliminating frustrations about health, wellness, and performance since 1987.
Welcome to the Coach Rob Podcast. I'm your host for this one, Toolman Dan. Mr. Coach Rob Beams, you are the star of this show, though.
No, I wouldn't go that far, brother. You've got quite a reputation, and I want to, as always, say thank you for being a part of this. I know you've got to carve out some very valuable time, but the feedback that I get, you know, with the DMs and the emails, you're a fan favorite. Thank you very, very much. And I want to start off by saying, everybody who has been subscribing and following and leaving kind comments, we deeply appreciate it. So I definitely want to get that out there first and foremost. We appreciate each and every one of you.
We do. This one's going to be a good show today. We have a really good topic. I'm excited about this because it opens up so many doors and avenues and thought processes. And like, it really truly makes you think, but what if you only had 1 year to accomplish your goals? And there's, like I said, there's so many different paths you can go down with this, you know, whether it be, you know, you get sick or you get injured, or there's so, it's just, this world is so wide open in this lane.
Yep.
What do you think, Coach? I mean, there's so many different things that could limit you, or decisions that you make in your life that steer you down a path. But what if you only had a certain amount of time to get there?
Well, and that's exactly what I want the listeners to stop and think about. Right at the very beginning of this conversation, I want to be very crystal clear that we do not want this podcast to be a, you know, more of a downtrodden or a dark podcast. In fact, I want it to be exactly the opposite. I want people to have a renewed perspective on the opportunities that life allot us. I do want to share a couple of examples. And I'm hoping, Dan, and if it doesn't, please let me know for the sake of the listeners. Over the last 3 weeks, it's been really hard here. We have a dear friend of ours who's very young. She's only, I think she was 42 this year, and has a 10-year-old son. And she was at the pool swimming, got out of the pool, had a bad headache, and ended up dropping on the pool deck with a double brain aneurysm. And she held on for a couple of weeks, but unfortunately, we lost her at the end of last week. And you stop and you think about that. She got out of bed that morning not knowing that was the last day. You don't know that. I don't know that. Her husband didn't know it. Her son didn't know that. But you stop and think about the realities of that. For those of you who have followed us for any period of time, you know that I'm very involved in the triathlon world. And one of my favorite pros is Sebastian Kinley out of Germany. And at the beginning of 23, he officially announced this is last year. He's been a professional for 20 years. And he just said, look, this is my last year. And before we go any further, Dan, I want the listeners, and I would like to challenge you as well in this conversation, look at the stark contrast from Keely, who did not know that this was her last day on earth, to Sebastian, who was able to, and by all means, I am not associating the end of a career with losing your life. That, please, I hope that's crystal clear as well. But think about, Sebastian said, all right, it's January 1st. At the end of the year, it's going to be my last race of the year. In Sebastian's case, he was able to put together and orchestrate essentially an exit plan. These are the races I want to do. Here's the things that I want to do. He picked a couple bucket races. He went to a few places that he'd never raced at before. And that's really what I want the context of this conversation to be. And I want the listeners to really stop and think about it. Like, literally pause this podcast and ponder, if you were given 12 months to reach your fullest potential in all four of the categories, Dan, that you and I speak about, personal, professional, financial, and athletic. And I want to share my screen for those of you that are with us here on YouTube. I want to share my screen real quick, if you don't mind, Dan. Yes. And what I want to show is there's a concept that we refer to as the Parkinson's law associated with work. And for those of you that are on YouTube, I want you to take a moment and really look at this graph. And what this graph is illustrating is, if you look at the off to the left, this is a volume of work. So let's just say I'm going to continue to use Sebastian Kinley. He did win the Ironman in Hawaii 1 year. So let's just say that the work necessary to win Ironman Hawaii. For some of us, it's to walk the Great Wall of China, something that's big. Well, the takeaway on this is, how much time are you allocating to the task that needs to be done? Now, in this illustration, they're referencing things in hours. I want to use it in regards to months. That's why I wanted to say, hey, in the next 12 months, Dan, what are the things that we could do to truly reach our full potential? Because what this concept essentially illustrates is, you've got a block of work that needs to be done. So, Dan, I want you to think about it. And for all of our fans that ride moto, if you said that I want to win World Vets next November, okay, well, now you've given yourself 11 months to say, okay, the task that needs to be done has to be completed in 11 months. However, if you just tell me one day I want to win World Vets, this, you may drag this out to 5 years. So do you see the concept that when we put a concentration of focus on, and you can do this on project management, you can do this on athleticism, you can do it on getting out of debt, et cetera, et cetera. And this is why I want to make sure everybody that's on YouTube gets a chance to understand this graph. The amount of work is going to be accomplished in the amount of time that you allocate to it. So that's why I wanted this conversation today to be, okay, unfortunately, Dan, you and I have spoken about this off the record. We have a bad day at the track. We say, well, we've got next weekend, do we?
Yeah.
Keely thought that. You know, we think, oh, this year is a wash, and I'm jumping from, you know, obviously a day to a year. Well, this year was a wash. I put on a few pounds. You know, I didn't really hit all my goals. I've got next year, do we? We have no guarantees, car wreck, accident, illness. Keely is a very healthy individual. No signs, nothing that was pre-med. Boom, just got out of the pool, and now she's gone 2 weeks later. Now, again, I do not, and I don't want to make light of it, I do not want this podcast to be dark. I do want it to be a perspective changer, because it's changed me. And you can ask Michaela, we've had lots of conversations over dinner about how it's really created a paradigm shift in the way that we think and the way we approach things.
Well, life is not sunshine and rainbows, right? Mm-hmm. It's unfortunately, and like you said, we don't want this to be a morbid podcast, but it's reality, Coach. It's reality. Like things happen, right? They happen unexpectedly, you know, and unfortunately, like Keely, you know, the Lord called her home way too soon, but we don't know. We just don't know. Only He knows that. So, but we do know one thing, Coach, that we're all going to age. We're all going to get older no matter what. And we talked about that window getting shorter and shorter as we age, right? Saying, hey, I'll get it done next year, or, you know, in 5 years, I mean, I'll get it done in 5 years. We're only getting older. That window is closing. So we talk about the transitions of life is really where that starts to come in.
It really does. And I want to make sure that people understand, I'm not trying to attack or charge anybody. I just want to share with you how it's changed me and my perspective and my conversations with Michaela, because most of you guys know I've been trying to learn the guitar for quite a while. And I'm not ever, I'll say this only one time in the podcast to avoid the duplication, but I'm not saying me learning the guitar is in line with Keely losing her life, but Keely losing her life has taken this Parkinson's law of time and work and has completely changed my approach to the guitar. Because I can continue to learn chords. I can continue to learn strumming patterns. But like I said to Michaela, I'm going to choose one song, and now I've given myself literally 6 months to learn that song. See the difference? I've been futzing around. I've bought all kinds of online courses. And yes, I do spend 30 minutes a day, but I haven't put it together. I couldn't come over to your house, Dan, and pick up a guitar that you have sitting in another room, tune it, and play it. I can futz around on it, but I can't play it. A lot of our listeners have been carrying some unwanted weight. And when I say weight, that could be relationship weight, baggage, burdens. When are we going to address them?
You know, yeah, and I guess that brings my question is, like, when do you make the choice?
Mm-hmm.
You know, at what age, like what is the right answer?
Well, and that's, I think, the $1 million question, because, and let's go to something that's a little bit lighthearted, right? Sebastian is a professional athlete. And I want you to think, Sebastian was very accomplished as a young junior. you can imagine his brain and his dream was, all right, I want to get a pro card. And he gets a pro card and he starts doing well, picks up one sponsor. You remember that first sponsor, Dan? You're like, man, I'm getting somewhere. He was excited to go do training camps in Girona, Spain from Germany. I'm going to zoom out and then we're going to zoom back in. When did it go from he was excited to go to a camp for 4 months to where he's like, I got to pack up to go back to the same place, to ride the same mountains, to run the same places? When did that paradigm shift hit? When did it go from exciting to it becomes a drag? Now, again, I'm going to keep coming back to, when did you wake up and your interpersonal relationship just didn't have that spark? When did you wake up, look in the mirror and go, I'm fat? When was the time that you're like, my fitness has gone down the drain? When was it that you realized you've got too much month at the end of the money? Now, again, none of us live in a glass house, but we say, I'll address that tomorrow. I'll deal with that next week. I'll get to that next year. And I don't want to get into the New Year's resolutions and it's February and oh shoot, we've already screwed those over. No. This is way bigger. This is, and this is the, I guess, Dan, if we're going to do a little bit of a banter here on, like you say, how do we answer the $1 million question? As you and I have worked together for quite a period of time, I'm always going to reverse engineer. And the first thing that I always stop and ask myself, and I want the listeners to think about it, what the heck are we chasing? Right? So for Sebastian Kinley, he's a junior, wants to become a pro. His dream is to win Ironman Hawaii one day. It's very definitive. It has a date. It has certain criteria, 2.4-mile swim, 112-mile bike, marathon run. He knows what he's got to accomplish. He knows when the date is. And each year, he just keeps trying to get better and better. Life doesn't give us that definitive date. Hey, 31 days from now, the ticker's going to stop. We don't have that. Even if you know, I lost my mom to cancer. We never had a date. We knew she had cancer, but we didn't know when it was finally going to take her. And so that's what I want. When we look at the idea of what's the $1 million question, or maybe the answer rather, my first question is always going to be, what is it that you're chasing? And Dan, we've talked about it on the pod together. When somebody says to me, I don't like my relationship, I don't like my job, let's turn that question around. What would your perfect job look like? And not many people can answer it.
Yeah. You know what I thought was interesting, Coach? Sorry to cut you off.
No, you're fine.
It sparked a thought in my mind was, yeah. 2 weekends ago, Aaron Plessinger won his first 450 Supercross race.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember who asked him at the end of the race. There might've been an interview after, but they said, Aaron, now that you've got this elusive first win, Did when you woke up the next morning, did it feel any different? And his answer was, no, actually it didn't,
mm-hmm.
which kind of boggled my mind, right? Because that to me would be, God, that would be huge, right? But if he didn't feel different, like, is there another goal? Like it really made me think.
And I'm glad it made you think, because if you go back to one of the podcasts that we did, why do we do what we do? Okay, we need to make money. Understood. How much is enough money? And again, I don't want this to come across as being cynical at all. People will tell me that they have a busy, busy schedule. I understand that. So what is making you busy? My job, my children, whatever that it may be. So what are you doing in each one of those categories? You're busy with your children to do what? I got to get them to soccer, got to get them to dance, got to get them to school, got to get them to bed. Okay. For what? For you or for them? What is it you're trying to teach them? Are you trying to teach them discipline? Are you trying to live vicariously through them? See, you're telling me that you're super, super busy getting your children everywhere. I still haven't gotten a clear, definitive answer as to why you're doing it. Now, people will say, you're being an ass. I don't mean to come across as an ass. You're telling me that you're too busy to eat good food, sleep 9 hours, and try to exercise for 30 minutes a day. Well, it must be easy. It's your glass house. That's what you live in. That's your wheelhouse. That's your sandbox. Well, isn't it, and shouldn't it be for everybody? I'm not saying you have to want to win Ironman Hawaii, but don't we all want to be fit enough to enjoy date night, going on vacation, doing the things that, because again, I don't want this to sound like we're trying to create a rhetorical conversation. It is exactly what you asked. What is it we're trying to do? We're all talking about we're busy, we're overweight, we're broke, we're tired. That's the byproduct of what? Being busy. So now let's divide busy. Well, that's what brings us back to personal, professional, financial, and athletic. Those four categories are keeping you busy. All right, well, what is it that we're trying to get out of being busy? We go to work for 12, 14 hours a day. Why? To make money. How much money do you need? Now, again, maybe you've made some bad financial decisions and you're trying to dig out. I understand. But if I can ask a question, Dan, and I want you to tell me if you think I'm making sense or not. What got you into the financial debt in the first place? Now, again, this is like ripping the scab off, right? I was young and dumb and didn't understand money. No, I'm not interested in that. What was it you were spending money on? Did it buy you the happiness that you thought it was? A pair of jeans, going to the movies, going to the races, right? Motorcycle, car, truck, whatever it is. How many times, Dan, when we were young, couldn't wait to get that first car until all of a sudden about 3 years in and that $350 a month payment, insurance and the gas, and now all of a sudden you need tires and you don't have $25 to fix the tires, right?
Well, I could share a real life story if you want me to get.
Please, yeah, because I want to make sure that I don't lose
context. I'll throw myself under the bus, and you could and you could contest to this, because I had a call you last week.
Mm-hmm.
And so for all the listeners, you guys all know that I ride motocross, and I have been getting really bad headaches for, I would say, the last 5 or 6 times that I've ridden. Like mm-hmm. when I get home at night, got these horrible headaches. And so it was to the point, right, Coach? When I called you, I said, hey, getting these headaches, I'm really not exactly sure what's going on. And, you know, I need your help. But it's to the point where I don't want to ride anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's happening every time I ride, and I don't want to ride anymore. And that's what I do as a hobby. I love to ride my dirt bike.
Yep.
The question that you asked me was, have you been weighing yourself in the morning and at night? And my answer was, no, I haven't. I've mm-hmm. admitted that I haven't.
Mm-hmm.
How much water are you drinking? Well, probably not enough. Well, then there's a high chance that you're dehydrated, right? We reverse engineered that back. It was super basic and right.
Yep. Yep.
But I called you because I was scared, because like mm-hmm. it's just not normal to get these headaches like this. So it was funny, because I then admitted to you that, Coach, I just don't like to drink water. Like I don't like the taste of just water.
Yep.
So we came up with a plan to put a half a scoop of energy fuel in my water just for the flavoring.
Exactly.
And I'll report that I have not had any headaches this week, and I feel very much so hydrated. But it was that one thing for me that I came to the point that I didn't want to do what I love anymore, because I was miserable getting these headaches.
So think about this for the sake of the listener. What now, again, we're going to be very deep on this, and I hope everybody sticks with us, because I'm hoping some big aha moments will come out of it. Why were you willing to ride more than one time with a headache? Because of the joy of riding your motorcycle. What is it that you get out of the motorcycle session? The endorphins, the fitness, the sweat, the accomplishment, being outside. We all have the reasons why we do what we do, right? So at that point, the discomfort of the headache was superseded with the pleasure of riding your dirt bike, until the pain outweighed the benefit.
Yep.
It could be financial debt. That could be relationship. That could be all these different attributes, right? Until you finally have that one day at work where you just walk in and you go, enough, this is enough. All right. What was the straw that broke the camel's back? At some point you got to where the cost outweighed the benefit. But where I want the listeners to come back and ask the hard question is, help me identify the original benefit in the first place. You look at Sebastian Kinley, and I'm keeping it in an athletic realm, because I know when we get into the professional realm of like being in a CPA, doctor, an engineer, you know, laying bricks, it has its own challenges. I understand that.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the psychological side of it. Think about when you first were becoming, I'm going to use the athletic side, but you can use it at any profession, when you just wanted to acquire the skills, the drills, and the knowledge. And then you put it all together. And then there was a level of success, proficiency. That's exciting. You want that next level. Dan, you're a much better motorcycle racer than me. And last year you won World Vets. I got third, you got first. So now think about it athletically. I have to weigh what is it that I'm going to get out of not only, now again, this gets a little bit nebulous. I'm currently here in third. You're currently here in first. I have to have enough momentum, not only to catch you, I have to surpass you. That takes a tremendous amount of focus and amount of momentum and energy. When the cost outweighs the benefits, you were thinking about not riding because it hurt too bad. What was it that kept you riding with a headache? Happened twice, happened third, happened four, happened fifth time, and then you finally called me. Yeah. Because the joy was worth it. You needed to solve the problem that was keeping you from enjoying it. Now, not everything's as simple as just adding a half a scoop of energy fuel, getting the electrolytes balanced, getting hydrated,
yeah,
headaches go away, joy of the bike comes back. But if we keep it literally, like you said, very fundamental, I think we can start to answer a lot of our own, we can answer a lot of questions that eliminate a lot of frustrations. Why do we get up to go to work? Oh, because we have bills to pay. Well, how many bills do we have to pay? How do we get those bills there? It's easy to say you hate your job and you keep going because you're in debt. Well, at some point, again, I'm not preaching. At some point, start putting an end on the accumulation of debt. So that way, as you continue to make that money, see what I was saying? You're the best vet rider. I've got to catch you, and then I've got to eventually surpass you. If I don't put a definitive, all right, my debt is X and I want that to be eliminated. If I keep stacking onto X, I'll never catch it. So now you're just a hamster on a wheel. We start to not like the job because you're not getting to the point where you feel like you're out of financial debt, because that's really what your ultimate goal is. Again, we're not here to blame why you got into debt. Poor decisions, got married early. I mean, my son broke both of his wrists. I had insurance. It still cost me almost $100,000.
Yeah.
Because there was complications. There was other stuff. Again, I don't live in a glass house, right? I was paying $800 a month for insurance because I had two boys and a wife at the time. Insurance was expensive. I'm thinking, I'm fine. We had a very high deductible. By the time you cash out the deductible, then you split an 80-20. Well, those double wrist injuries, they went on for almost 4 years.
Yes.
Well, there's $100,000. I don't know about you, but I didn't have my deductible. And I've shared this story with you before. He broke his collarbone in November. We have a very high cash deductible because we don't go to the doctor that often. Then he broke both of his wrists in January. Jeez. So I had already paid a high deductible in the last month of the year, got hit with another deductible at the beginning of the year. So my savings were gone. Yeah, I had a rainy day fund. I'm just trying to share with people, I don't live in a glass house.
Yeah.
And $100,000 later, I can't say that I wouldn't do it any different because he's my son. And I feel like it's my responsibility to pay for his medical bills. You see where I'm going?
Yeah.
To me, my son was worth it, but I had to catch up to finally get on top of it. But I had to have a final balance. If that balance kept adding on, you never catch up. You give up.
Yeah. And that's kind of my next question with this, right? Is once you identify where you want to go and your end goal, right? And even mm-hmm. say you're putting those wheels in motion and you're an Aaron Plessinger, like you've got that one win now. What is a sustainable pace?
Well, and I think this is the part that's going to, I don't want it to offend people. I hope it puts a smile on their face. If you know what you did to achieve, if we use your example, if Aaron knows what he's essentially physically done, what adjustments have been made, once you know what constitutes success, all you have to do is duplicate that. Now you're always going to be making some minute adjustments. If we take it back to yourself, the frustration was the headaches keeping you from being able to ride your dirt bike. We solved it. Well, I know you won't do this, but if you regress back to your old habits and not drink, there's a pretty good probability that those headaches are going to come back and the whole situation is going to repeat itself. That's what we do month over month, because we just assume I'll deal with it next month. I'll deal with it next year. Tonight's conversation is you don't have another year. Give yourself that drop dead date. Use that Parkinson's law where you say, whatever your accomplishments are within all categories. You might have four subjects in just one category. Stop allowing yourself to take the task and spread it out over 5 years. Give yourself 12 months. You go, gosh, man, that's pretty aggressive. Absolutely. Parkinson's law says you will allocate the work that needs to be done to the amount of time that you allocate to it. So tighten up the time frame. Please don't give yourself 1 day, but please don't continue to give yourself 5 years, because all we're going to do is take that responsibility of weight loss, financial independence. We're just going to keep dragging it out.
Well, and you lose focus, right? You lose motivation. It's when you can put these goals in a shorter window, right? You can get in a groove and you can actually see the goal at the end more than a year. I mean, even a year, coach, that's mm-hmm. a year's a long time, you know, but you know, you start talking multiple years, so much happens, life happens, and mm-hmm. it's so easy to lose the focus.
Yes. But we lose focus because of you mentioned it earlier, the transitions in life. My dear friend Robert Weatherwax is a doctor here in Orlando, and in his doctor's office, he has this really cool poster, and it says, "Remember when M&Ms were more valuable than money? I want to go back to when that was my priority." Now, think about how simplistic that was, because right now, depending on where you're at in life, and we've even done a podcast, you know, when we went through the decades, mm-hmm. as you, all of those transitions are inevitable. And I think that's where we lose focus, because like, for example, with my boys and my daughter, what we would always say is, when you want something, you must always get three prices for it. We would always keep a piece of paper. And I know some people may laugh at me. I always kept a spreadsheet. And what we would say is, you're only, try to keep it to where you only have three things on your sheet at any one time of things that you want. And of those three things, you had to wait at least a month to buy them. And you had to get three prices on each one of the items. So it taught them the value of, you know, searching, and especially with Google nowadays, it's very easy.
Yeah.
But here was the thing. They had to literally, it's kind of like buying a gun. You have the cool off window. When you put something on that list and you're only allowed to have three, when you put one on, obviously something else has to come off. So if you waited it out and you saved your money and you got the best price, what ended up happening a lot of times is that item fell off the list and something else got put on, but it has to stay on for 4 weeks. So you might have only had four more days left. But to your point, Dan, the focus and the importance of that item got pushed aside and it got replaced with something a little bit more important. An M&M became a dollar, became a cell phone, became your driver's license, became your first used vehicle, became your first house, became your first child. You see, when you talk about focus, we have transitional stages, but then we want the motorcycle and the car and the house and the new lawn and the pool and the new dog and too much.
Yeah.
And then we just start going.
It is too much. And that could be athletically, that could be financially, that could be personally, right? And
but people think we tend to, as humans, just we've got time again tomorrow. What we didn't get done today, so we spread that window out. Didn't mean to interrupt you, but I love what you just said.
Man, these things are coming to mind, and mm-hmm. it's almost like this world these days is replaceable. Everything mm-hmm. is replaceable. Have you ever noticed that? Like your cell phone, your mm-hmm. cell phone's only good for a year. Then the new mm-hmm. iPhone 16 comes out, and then the iPhone 17 comes out.
You think that's by accident?
Absolutely not. And you look at all these services, right? Everything is subscription based. Yep. Nothing is, you don't own anything anymore.
Mm-mm.
And so the world today is pushing you in so many different directions with, you know, that everything is just replaceable mm-hmm. and there's no focus anymore and there's no ownership, which I think is very troubling personally.
It is. Mm-hmm.
But at the same sense, each of us has an opportunity to change that, or we have to control our own destiny. Like for mm-hmm. me, coach, I don't do any subscriptions. None. Mm-hmm. I take that back. I do subscribe to Peacock because I have to watch Supercross and I don't have cable. So
right. That
is my one subscription. But other than that, I just don't. And,
yes.
We control our finances. I try to control, you know, the hours that I have in the day and what to do, because the world is always pushing you in a different direction and it's hard to stay focused.
Well, take it one step further, and I'm gonna kind of expose myself here a little bit, and I hope it doesn't go too far. When I was going through my divorce and I'd moved out, I actually had moved into a condo on Lake Mineola out in Claremont. And the next lake over is Lake Minnehaha, and that's where Roxanne and all those guys had their houses and still do. And here's where I'm going with it. The nights that I didn't have my boys, because I only got them on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then every other weekend I got them Wednesday through Sunday. So I would get the weekends every other weekend. Otherwise, I only got them Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night. My kids are my everything. And I wanted to make sure I didn't start drinking, and I didn't want to start drinking myself into a blackout state to, and here's where this is why I'm being a tad bit vulnerable. What is it that I was running from? I didn't want to be alone and not have my kids. So what did I do so that I wouldn't drink? I started working out more. Now, I wasn't working out to try to appeal to somebody from a physique standpoint. I thought a better option to drinking is I better be productive. And then if I wasn't working out, I was working on our business. So the reason why I bring it up is a lot of times we lose, and I hate to say it this way, we have a tendency to understand the concept a little bit better when it's a negative environment than a positive. Like in this case, I have to use it as an example to share with the listeners, because I knew where I didn't want to go. And I said to myself, well, what would bring me joy? Well, build businesses that I can leave to my kids to take over, to create a business that creates residual revenue for my wife. You know, would it, the pleasure of providing for my family, that's the hunter-gatherer in us, the joy of that is what pulled me through the dark times on the windows of time that I didn't have my kids, of which I had no control over. And again, I'm hoping that the negative side of that created more of a limelight. I needed to come up with something that I desired instead of something that I was trying to run from. I think a lot of people, myself included, we go and we buy stuff thinking that that's going to bring us happiness, and it doesn't. So we move on to something new, but we still have the debt of what we purchased because we bought it for 10 grand. We could only sell it for six. We still have to pay off the four. Yep. And we don't wait to pay off the four before we buy the next thing. Now, you could apply that to athleticism. You could apply that to interpersonal relationships. We're always kind of eyeballing the grass is always greener on the other side. You know, like you and I've talked about off the record, most people don't even know what they want in a relationship. They'll tell you what they don't like, what they have. Yeah. But if you said, okay, if you could amicably not hurt anyone's feelings and you could terminate this existing relationship and start over, what would you search for? If you were not going to compromise, what would you search for? Not many of us can be able to tell you. Hey, I'm looking for an athletic girl. I'm looking for somebody who's spontaneous, likes to travel, doesn't wear makeup. And then go down this whole list. Well, then go pursue it.
Yeah.
You see how I'd rather stay on the focus of being attracted to the accomplishment side of it. Getting out of debt is accomplishment, not a thank goodness that's over.
Yeah.
Because if you know what you did to get out of debt, you can keep doing it and you never get in debt. If you know what you're looking for in a relationship and you find it, you're going, this is where, and obviously relationships are very volatile, but at this point now, the enjoyment of being in a relationship supersedes the opportunity cost of, you maybe have to clean up after somebody that you don't like doing, but because you love them so much, it doesn't bother you.
Yeah.
You love them as a person so much, you don't care if they're not as tidy as you are. You don't care if they're not as attentive to details, because that's not worth fighting over. But you're never going to have that perspective until you can outweigh the positives against the negatives. That's why we say, please don't settle in a relationship.
Yeah.
When you settle, it pisses you off.
We're running short on time, Coach.
Yep.
But I do want to wrap this up with,
yes, sir,
kind of the moral of the story, if you will, of, yes, of this pod.
Yep. Well, go ahead. Nope. No, you finished. I apologize. I interrupted you.
For me, the moral of the story is, We don't know when the last day we have on Earth is, and or we don't know the next time we're going to crash and, you know, break our leg, or you just don't know. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's very important that we all have goals, set those goals short term, you know, allot the time, the effort needed to capture that goal, and live life like you don't have tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Because I'll tell another short, stupid story. I'm I'm real weird. If I really like something like gear, I'm a Fox guy, but if I buy a set of Fox gear and like I'm like, man, I love this stuff. This stuff is so cool. I won't wear it, coach, because I'm afraid to crash in it. I'm afraid to crash in it. I'll rip the sleeve and then I won't have it anymore. So I just don't wear it. As I've gotten older within this last year, I've been realizing that, man, tomorrow's not promised. I'm going to wear that gear.
That's right.
Because if something happens tomorrow, I'll have never worn that gear. And then why the hell did I buy it?
Yep.
So for me, that's the moral of the story. For me, I'm sure this whole pod could mean so many different things to the listeners, but
And that's exactly what we wanted. Everybody let the pod sink in where you're at. If you have some unfinished business with a family member, are you too busy or are you truly avoiding what needs to be done? Because if you keep saying I've got next week, you're taking the Parkinson's law of time and you're taking that responsibility of addressing the work that needs to be done. I've got next week, I've got next month. No, we don't.
And honestly, if you don't clear your conscience of things, or if it's debt, or if it's your body weight, if you don't clear that, it really bogs you down and weighs on you, and it's hard to move forward
I can't
if you
tell you how many
don't.
people that I've started working with who have literally programmed themselves to have, and I'm going to use a loose number, to live on 6 hours of sleep. And we get an opportunity to show them the benefit of rest, not in a glass house environment, but just show them. And literally 9.9 out of 10 people feel guilty when they start getting 8 to 9 hours of sleep because they've wired themselves that they're supposed to be sleep is what you do when you die. And that's, all those little cliches that we've joked about previously. When people start waking up and feeling rested, they actually feel a little bit awkward. The word that people always tell me is, I feel guilty. I slept 8 hours last night. Even though the body, and there's all the medical documentation that validates, 8 to 9 hours of sleep is where it's at. You need 3 to 5 sleep cycles. You need those 2 hours of deep sleep, blah, 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 right? And then when it starts happening, it feels so good. You put on that Fox gear and it feels so good and it looks so good. First thing is you want to get away from it. You're like, I don't want to ruin it. See where our brain immediately wants to go the negative route? Oh, I woke up and I felt good. Oh, well, you shouldn't have done that. Why? Because it actually felt good. Think about exercise not being painful. Hard work, but not painful. What a novelty. What about food being enjoyable and healthy instead of instead of tasting like either tree bark or being fat and, garbage food, saturated fried garbage?
How about riding and not getting a headache?
How about going to date night and actually enjoying it? How about getting to the end of the month and having a smile on your face instead of sweating like, gosh, I've got to steal from Peter to pay Paul? But put it in a tight window and just hopefully today's podcast, Dan, brings a smile to everybody's face. As we said at the onset, we don't want this to be a dark podcast. I hope it's opened some perspectives because this month has been a very big eye-opener for myself. I hope we've been able to share that with everybody else. And, hopefully we've made an indelible mark. So, Dan, as always, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. Thank all the listeners. Make sure you guys like and subscribe. Leave the comments down below. We love listening and reading the comments. If you guys have a question, the link for Coach Rob's email, I think, is in there.
Sure
You guys
is.
can always reach out to me. If you guys need to talk about anything, you need advice,
Yep.
we're here for you. So again, thank you, Coach Rob. Thank you to all of our listeners, and we will see you on the next one.
Peace.